This is from February 5th, 2016, me talking to Ion, and we get into this section on Ginny's chart, the seven phases of the sevens, which is ring 10 or 11 or something. The ring with the 49 boxes in the angel diagram refers to this seven trumpets, seven vials, seven seals, seven judgments, seven churches, seven something else and something else. Okay, this should work. Are all the seven phases that Ginny worked out on her chart, the trumpets, the vials, the seals, they're all in the angel diagram? Correct?
They are, and they are also linear the way she did them. They are linear.
So,
yay.
Do they fit in the first seven rings?
Yes, from Ziglag to Zion.
Was Zion the seventh ring? The Escher,
yeah.
The middle part? Okay. And then is 8 to 14 the seven phases of the church's trumpets vowel is not in that part?
No, that'd be more like Stevie Nicks' Seven Wonders.
The Seven Wonders of the World?
Yeah. If
okay,
I live
so,
to see the Seven Wonders. You need to play that, too, tomorrow night.
Send me the link if you get a chance.
No worries. You
right,
nuts.
Right, no.
We live to fuck with you, Bob. You're our favorite one.
That's right. I'm a good sport.
No, no. No, Bob. You are faithful. That's what you are. Let's talk about Bob a minute. Let's talk about Bob a minute. Bob is how this all works. Because it's got to come back to Bob. Because if we're not talking about Bob, what are we really doing here?
Yeah,
Bob?
What are we doing?
I mean,
why?
What's this about? What is this really about? We have to bring it back to Bob's town. So, anyhow.
Okay.
So, what you got to know is you got to know something.
Yeah.
And so,
got
you
that.
Tell what you know.
And I've been operating with the not knowing.
Well, but you've been arguing to know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Well, then that's the point, isn't it?
Okay. Yes, I get that.
And now you've proved that you don't know. So
right.
Now you don't know.
Now we know something.
Well, now you know that you don't know.
And that's radical.
Well,
right?
Maybe. That's up to you. See, now we're negotiating, you see.
Well, I'm jiggy with that. I've always maintained that. I've always known that I didn't know. I didn't know that I didn't know that it was so accurately known.
That you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I knew. So my point is, at this point, there's an attempt to know, the trumpets, the vials, the thunders, the seals, those aspects in the first seven rings are all chemistry. And
yes.
The unveiling
and
of our product.
You, now, from an android meme, you'd say it's alchemy.
Yes.
But you weren't talking about that. But that's what you meant to talk about. Because that's what you're going to come back to talk about. Otherwise, it doesn't matter talking about.
All alchemists were attempting to do what we were doing, and they were way off base, trying to make
lead. Well, some say you too. Some say you did too. Some say you wasted a thousand years trying to figure out what you already knew. I mean, if you're going to argue for limitations, you might as well start with you. I can't imagine anybody else we'd rather talk about than you, Bob.
Yeah, well, I really dug the journey.
Hey. So you and Bethel Goodman wouldn't take nothing for your journey now? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. We took a lot with us, a lot of nothing, just so we could be distracted, take longer, so I could eventually make my album. I was not giving it up. I was not turning to gold, as Leonard Cohen sings, until I told my story.
Poor Peter Beater, he couldn't figure it out, and he couldn't eat her. So what would Peter Beater know if he didn't have any gold, right?
Right. Okay, so what's Beater doing? Is he having a good time observing us?
He's furious, Bob.
Uh-oh. And, yes, and maybe his family is furious, too.
Well, they'll get over it. He didn't have much regard for them, so why should you?
Did his wife transition yet?
Yes.
Yeah, poor Lily.
Really? She's sweet, though.
Yeah, very nice person. How come Lynn LaRouche can live so long?
He's been dead for years, Bob.
So he has a double. He has a double prancing around.
Well, listen to him. He's ridiculous. He's the only person on the planet that sounds more ridiculous than you, Bob.
That's right. I agree. He's insane.
It's astounding.
For 40 years.
over and over and over. And that queen's been trying to get that preparation eight up their bum all these years. It's terrible. Trying to get the hemorrhoid cream. She's sneaking things up your bum hole. And that's that queen. That's what she's doing. Yep, yep, yep.
So LaRouche is actually physically transitioned?
Gone. Dead as a hammer. Dead as a sack of hammers.
Like Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's
gone.
Dead, too.
Gone.
So this is a Michael Jackson operation where somebody subs in a dummy, an imitator, and then the lawyers make money from that? Is that what's going on with Dylan?
Well, it's always about the lawyer sooner or later, isn't it, Bob?
So they are doing that with Dylan and Lena LaRouche. Correct. Say it.
Yes. And also Patty Hearst.
Are they trying to prepare a double for me?
Oh, there's too many running.
Okay, good. Did Susie Rotolo transition in 2012? That's what her Wikipedia says.
She's deciding.
So she's still hovering?
Yes.
Is she excited by the interest Carol and I have taken in her?
Well, sorta. Are you really interested?
I'm not sure yet. We're still deciding. I'm going to read the new interview with her I just discovered in a book called Rock Wives. And she wasn't even married to him. So is Carlotta still alive, her sister? Did she transition?
No, she's still around.
She worked with Alan Lomax, the folk archivist, and she met Dylan before Susie, and that's when they had an affair, before Bob met Susie, correct?
That's correct. And it went along after, too. It wasn't a one-time thingy-thing. It was a heated, passionate repose.
Right, because Carlotta, on the surface, as far as Susie could see, was outraged at how crummy a guy Dylan was. That was the cover. Carlotta was covering it. Wow, pretty dramatic.
Well, I mean, that's what Carolyn was talking about. It's like, that's how the people get all this in. They love you, love you, love you, to the hate you, hate you, hate you, but they're really, really sleeping with you. She knows the wiles of women. See, there you go.
Yeah, she's observed it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So is
dogs and cats laying together. Mm.
So did Dylan stay in touch with Carlotta?
Even though he stopped seeing
Susie? And did Susie ever figure this out about her sister?
Yes.
Did that cause a fight between them?
A bit of a rift.
And Carlotta is still around? I don't know if she transitioned.
We said she was still around.
So that's an interesting side thing. Can that be made public, or is that confidential?
Hell yeah, tell everybody. We're surprised it ain't in the newspaper today. Hell, it's probably in Wikipedia now. Just check it. Everything's in Wikipedia, Bob.
Zappa, you got Dylan.
It's so funny.
Oh, yes, Dylan. A couple of years ago, he said that he actually was this Hell's Angel named Robert Zimmerman, had the same name as Bob Dylan's original name. And he died in an accident with Sonny Barger, the head of the Hell's Angels. Sonny survived, or it was a bike hitting another bike. So Robert Zimmerman died. Bob Dylan said about 4 or 5 years ago that he was that guy, and he died. He was the Hell's Angels guy. Is that the Bob Dylan double, malfunctioning and saying crazy things?
Very crazy things, Bob.
That's the double doing that, correct?
Yes.
Under pressure of keeping the secret. Because Bob Dylan, the original Bob Dylan, had transitioned by then.
That's right. Sometimes you find yourself in the middle of nowhere. And sometimes in the middle of nowhere, you find yourself, Bob.
Is that a Bob Dylan line?
No, it's a Sonny Barger quote. Come on, Bob.
Oh, okay. So
Bob Dylan suffering cats. Do y'all not have the Googler there, Bob? You got to get you a Googler. You know everything if you got the Googler.
Yeah,
you just Google things and put the Googler on the Googler, and you can tell you everything. Well, no, you ain't got to know nothing. You ain't got to know nothing. Everything's right there. Just put the Googler on it.
I agree.
Sharp your Googler, and you got it.
There's your modern media ecology, folks. I understand the present communication ecology by what he just
said.
The
Outlaw's Tale of Harley's Highways and Hell by Ralph. Sonny Barger.
So Bob Dylan, the original Bob Dylan, did transition. He didn't fake his death. Now, he was propped up by the oligarchy connections of his parents. So the oligarchy that created Bob Dylan they offed the original Bob Dylan and are still carrying on with the Bob Dylan image, which was their plan from the beginning.
Of course. They didn't need him.
That's right.
They did John better Hammond. Without him.
And John Hammond was the producer of that first Dylan album, was the man connected to the plan, to the oligarchy plan, correct? John Hammond himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did Tom Wilson figure this out?
No, he wanted to. He was trying to make a name for himself at it, but not so much. You know how it goes. You start off real good, but then it's dragging down to the end. You know the story.
Yeah, they get lost in the groupies and the cocaine, and they forget themselves. The did he get confused by? He went from Bob Dylan. He produced Bob Dylan, then he produced Frank Zappa. Was he thrown for a loop by Frank? Did that kind of make him confused?
It didn't confuse him, but it frustrated him
because he couldn't control Frank.
Right.
Meanwhile, Marsh McLuhan had an album made in the same period, 1967. I think it was John Simon was the producer. John Simon? John somebody. So, now McLuhan, he would put down the album and the book, The Medium is the Massage. Did he mean that? Was he genuine about that? He did not like that kind of pop culture?
He didn't understand it. So anything you don't understand, of course, got to go.
Bob Dylan, when he was still here, praised Marsh McLuhan. What did he learn from McLuhan?
Nothing. That's why he praised him.
Yeah, it wasn't a threat.
Right. He was
okay,
a nothing.
So that means that Dylan's book, Chronicle, may not have been written by the original Bob Dylan.
Right.
See, Carol, that would explain why it's kind of off and poetic and he doesn't tell anything.
It's just like an iambic pentameter rouge.
Wow. I'm glad you're saying this. I'm not saying this, Mr. Dylan. And when he hears this, those guys running his image are going to sue us for saying that he didn't write the book. So,
okay, cover. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm just a reporter. I'm just interviewing Ion.
Yeah, boy.
Ashley's Carol's just finished the book. There was something odd in the book, right, Carol?
Yeah.
Well, who wrote it? John Hammond, son? Who actually wrote the Dylan book? A committee?
Mark Mothersbaugh.
Of Devo. Wow. Reverend Stang would be shocked at that. Mark Mothersbaugh. You know, he's the original subgenius promoter, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Mark Mothersbaugh, yeah. So he's in L.A. He could do it. Does Bob Dylan's son, who Carolyn met one of them, does Jesse know what happened to his father?
Mm-mm.
They don't know.
And they don't really care.
So only Mark Mothersbaugh knows. He got the gig.
Yeah.
Does Mark Mothersbaugh know about me?
Well, actually, it was more about Anita Greenspan.
Mark Mothersbaugh, does he know about our work on the radio today?
He does. He's very upset.
Him and Stang, the whole Stang faction. He picked the wrong horse. Mark Mothersbaugh picked the wrong horse.
Right. Jerry and the Evildoers.
Now, Follow Drummond tried to link in with my LinkedIn, which I don't do, but... Is Philo Drummond thinking of defecting from the Stang faction and joining up with Bob?
Well, they all want to sooner or later. They just don't know how to. Because you'll embrace them, and then you'll slay them, and then you know how that goes. It just goes on and on and on.
But they do want the drops. They recognize they got to get the drops.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah.
How about Princess Wei? She's secretly taking the drops, isn't she?
She is.
She knows better. Okay, so we go on to the next point. Sorry for that digression, everybody, but that was for the peanut.
We had to support. This is for all the crew at Heebie Jeebies. We had to keep them involved, too.
Right, like Hilly Crystal. He started it, CBGBs. He passed away, or did he fake his death?
He's gone.
Once you transition, you can know all that we're doing. All that's going on here, you know. You're indifferent to it, but you know it all, correct?
Basically.
So if you were shocked, okay, Hilly says, gee, Bob, he played at my place in April 1975. He did his push-ups on the stage there. And that guy was, hey, open out, hey, Bob, he could be marvel all about that. He would know it while he's in the guff or transition, but he wouldn't care, right? He'd be in bliss. It wouldn't matter to him knowing that.
Right.
Unless... there is a part of the personality, as the Evergreens said, survive death. Does any part of the personality survive death? Just survive transition? That is a tough question.
Well, it doesn't apply.
So you don't have a personality in the guff, is what you're saying.
Right, you don't. See, you're in the soup.
What is the difference between feelings and emotions?
CBGB.
So emotions tend to be cortexual, coming out of the forehead, and feelings are more aligned with the hypothalamus? Is that a good distinction?
No, the canteen was made into an art gallery, and then it became an acoustic response for rock, folk, jazz, and experimental music, such as Da 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 and Tossie Regan.
Wow, that's quite a statement there, Ion. What happened to Sandy Pearlman?
That's what happened. 315 Bowery was where it was buried.
Yes, right. So Sandy Pearlman, he had a stroke or something. What is this condition? I mean, just when I was approaching him, discuss a few matters, he drops off. Is that another case of afraid of Bob?
Yeah.
Is he going to come out of this coma?
No, and I tell you another one that's right behind him is Alan Rickman. Just about stone cold dead. Him and Randall Miller, too.
How about Richard Meltzer?
He's doing okay. He's all right.
Yeah, Richard's the live one, isn't he?
Yeah.
He probably won't listen to my hours of dissertation on his book, The Aesthetics of Rock, or am I wrong? He is actually...
He already wrote it. He would be interested, but he won't listen to it because he already knows what you're going to say.
Because he knows me, or he just knows himself?
He already knows what he wrote in his bookie book.
Yeah, but I translate
but now,
it in
Patty,
a new way.
Yeah, but you're talking about Patty Smith now.
Is she a walking dead?
She is. And that's the one that sang the songs by Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Jerry Fialka knew these people.
Yes, and Marquis Moon.
Marquis who?
Moon. Marquis Moon.
I don't know that name.
Nearly finished. Marquis Moon.
Okay, let's take some of the more well-known names. Is Paul McCartney taking the drops?
We officially cannot have any response, but the Wikipedia says yes.
Ringo Starr is the brightest of them all, correct?
No, Bob, you're the brightest one of them.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant of the Beatles. Of the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, the Beatles, yeah. Although we like John better.
Why did you like him? What did he have going for him?
Anybody that can find someone as unattractive as Yoko attractive has got to have it right. He's got to be good at it.
And he faked his death.
Yeah.
Correct?
Because he had to get rid of her somehow.
Does he take the drops?
Yes.
What's he think of my mediacology? Because he did meet the fluent.
He thinks you're on LSD.
I go further than him. All right.
Yes, for sure.
What's he think of Carolyn?
That she's darling and the world's tallest midget.
Okay, enough of the celebrity portion of our program. Is there any celebrity you're interested in, Carolyn?
No.
She was interested in changing this topic 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's right. Mrs. Trump, is she aware of our work? Mrs. Donald
Yes.
Trump.
Well, there's three of them. There's three of them. Ivana,
right.
Ivanka, and all of them. So, yeah, they all together, it's right.
And they know what we're doing, and they keep that
they
hidden
do.
From Don.
No, they do not. They do not. No, they do not.
Yeah.
No, you didn't make us say it. We don't mind telling you. They think you're hot, Bob. You know they can get it.
It's a wonder, Ivana, and then Ivanka? Is that a coincidence?
Ivanka.
Oh, that's the daughter, Count. No, his new wife is Ivanka. I don't know who's who.
There's a slang, and it's changing. You better hurry up. You better up and figure out the tweet. He'll tweet his new wife in about 9 seconds, so don't worry about it.
Is he married right now, Carol? Yeah. What is his present wife's name?
No idea.
You know, Ian?
Well, first was, right now is Melania Trump. And
okay.
then Marta Maples.
Yes.
And then Ivana Trump.
Is Ivana still with them?
No.
No.
That was from 77 to 92.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
And then 93 to 99 was Marta Maples.
Okay.
And then Melania Trump is right now.
So you did the names in reverse order. Okay. And, of course, you're using the Wikipedia to say that. You couldn't know that otherwise. You just
wouldn't. It wouldn't be. It doesn't matter what we say. If we don't load it into the Wikipedia, you don't accept it as so. So we just say it was in the Wikipedia. That makes it much easier. Should we put your Coldplay in there, too? Would that make it more valuable, Bob?
Sure. Yeah. Any publicity is good publicity. No. I thought I was quoting Bob Dylan.
Well, it'll be the end.
Joe Cocker.
That's right.
I quoted Joe Cocker by mistake.
Yeah, it's some kind of journey. That's it. That's right.
Oh, journey. No, I wouldn't quote them, no. So here's a statement. In everyday order, formal causality reveals itself by its effects. There is
by its cause, not effects.
Okay. All right. There is a strange paradox in this, because since the effects come from the hidden ground of situations, the effects the effects usually appear before their causes.
Right. That's right. Good.
But you have to change. So McLuhan didn't get it right.
He didn't even know.
All right.
Effects precedes cause, yes or no?
That's true.
Okay. Then a causal effect equals what?
Coming events casting their shadows before them.
Or applications of outcomes that haven't been engaged. We weren't being mean. We were just trying to say.
Yeah. But I'm gonna take a quote and show you what a young McLuhan scholar attempts to explain about the idea of effect precedes the cause. They go like this. As Eric McLuhan states, formal cause kicks in whenever coming events cast their shadows before them. That's from an Eric McLuhan essay. Then the writer says, essentially, and the writer is Anthony Wachs, W-A-C-H-S. He says, essentially, the idea that effects precede the cause is the idea that the effects of a phenomena exist within the form of the phenomena itself. In other words, the use of an object, in brackets, an effect, is largely determined by its form. For example, the effect of a shoe, that is, the protection of the foot, is determined within its formal structure of the shoe, which by and large was conceived in the mind of the shoemaker far before it was actually made. Eric McLuhan cites Aristotle's definition of formal cause as, quote, the pattern which directs the work. It is, in a sense, the definition or type of the thing to be made, which, beginning as a plan in the artist's mind, appears at the end of the work in the transformed material as its own intrinsic form. End of quote. That was citing Aristotle. Then the writer, Mr. Wark, says, as such, effect precedes the cause. Now, in that garbled words that I just uttered, would you correct any of what was said there?
Most all of it.
Yes, it's not a good explanation of what you're about. And what you're
right.
talking.
It's the little man's version of why angels can have wings.
Okay, that's good. Now, let me just see if I have another quote.
We like playing with you, Bob.
All right. The importance of the word that you began...
Thank Ion, Bob.
Oh, thank you, Ion. I have no concern about those issues. I'm not in the human...
It just his very life and breath comes, breathes from it. As long as we're talking about him, it's all right. That's it.
Yeah.
As long as we're talking about Bob, he didn't notice that we weren't talking about anything else. That's right.
Yeah, but, you know, I noticed a little while ago, Ion, you tried to do a nice Bob rant, and Bob cut you off.
That's
I don't know what that was about. He cut you off.
I usually like it.
It was rich, of course.
And we don't know which Bob that was, Carolyn. I don't even know if I'm aware
the
of that.
Fun
Bob
one.
Doing
it
that.
Was the fun one.
So the point is, I'm not interested in compliments or put-downs as long as it's about me. Right, Carolyn? Doesn't matter what the topic is. So that's why I'd be indifferent to compliments. All right. So this whole idea that Ion introduced, the power of our spoken words, look at this. McLuhan states in the book Laws of Media, quote, "One fundamental discovery upon which this essay rests is that each of man's artifacts is in fact a kind of word, a metaphor that translates experience from one form into another. This essay, the Laws of Media that McLuhan did, offers in testable and falsifiable form, that's the criteria of scientific laws, observations about the structure and nature of things man makes and does, hence laws in his title. Each tetrad is the word or logos of its subject, and all these words are peculiarly human, with the utterer as the etymology. In other words, the human is the source of the artifacts." That's pretty close to what you start off saying. Everything comes from the human words.
Yes, the essence of it. The essence of its creation, yes.
So then the author, the little man, says, "All technology," he's going to translate what he thinks McLuhan means, "all technologies are words extended by humans, and as such, their meaning can be traced back to the human body. Human artifacts are metaphors that translate forms of experience into other forms of experience, which is the essential function of metaphors in general. This observation makes sense, given McLuhan's argument that media and technology are continually enhancing, transforming, and reverting into one another." So McLuhan is not simply arguing that human artifacts function like metaphors. Rather, human artifacts are taken to be words themselves. So most of this, in essence, you would agree with. Right, Ion? What's being said here?
You had us at goodbye, but yeah, it was okay.
Okay. Then Eric McLuhan attempts to explain what I just said. "Finding the link to metaphor led to one of the farthest-reaching realizations, which itself tied directly back to the subtitle of Understanding Media, the Extensions of Man. Utterings," says Eric, "are outer rings or extensions. So media are not as words. They actually are words, and we had stumbled upon the key to their verbal structure." Isn't that what you were telling me back in March, April 2009?
No, I think you were talking to Reverend Stang, weren't you?
No, you. Now,
it's a bit garbled. They make it hard because they start embracing constructs that have never been laid out, like they know what they are. So if you don't have Marshall McLuhan, all this gabble, he's vomiting doesn't land or apply anywhere, which is troublesome, because now the ignorant capacitor that's trying to describe and think that thou dost protest too much doesn't know the construct in which he's addressing the phenomenon. Do you agree?
I think so. So let me say this sentence. So the next sentence, this is the little man, Mr. Walk, saying, "The idea here is fairly radical, but it's not a new one. Indeed, if human artifacts are the products of mind, and if the mind functions through language, then it makes sense that these products are characteristically verbal in nature." Now, you would quibble with the use of the word mind there, correct? You don't bring mind.
You are
mind
correct.
In. The literate man, the little literate man, will bring in mind. That's their mistake.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you start acknowledging that, and then trouble's right behind it. If you can make it work now and then, okay, good, but you never can. See, you don't. It never lasts long. And then you're off the chains, and you don't know what hit you, where the bus was when it went down the track.
"The idea," says the little man, "that all human creations are metaphors that follow the laws described above is not restricted to the physical outerings, that is, the technologies, media, and all human artifice, for that matter. These laws also apply to the non-physical creations of the mind. In other words, the laws apply to both physical creations," that's hardware, in quotes, hardware, "and non-physical creations is software, such as," these are non-physical creations, "these philosophies and styles of music, because they're all equally verbal." Now, you would disagree with the non-physical that you define yourself as. Is
correct.
Not included in this use of the non-physical.
It's not even inclusive to the construct that he's trying to apply it to. And the
right.
It's what we don't even know what the hell you're talking about, but that's the it that it's alluding to.
So then the little man, Mr. Walk, says, "All things uttered by humans are equally understood as words." Now,
what?
He's saying,
hey, Lord, suffering cat, you lost your ever-loving mind. Listen to that. So no tear in your eye has any communicative or communicative properties to say that I haven't had an emotion. You must be a word spoken. How trite.
Okay, that's very good. All things uttered by humans are equally understood as words. So they are talking about mortar words.
Yeah, and that's the wrong way, Feldman, because it applies to even less. That leaves off every, even an unction of pain, saying that pain is a word, and so therefore the communication of pain is bad. Well, not necessarily. If you hit yourself in the head with a hammer, when you stop, you might find pleasure with that, and you quit doing it.
Okay, so I think it's the French linguist De Saussure, 100 and so years ago. He laid out the difference between la langue, L-A-N-G-U-E, and la parole, P-A-R-O-L-E. Are those two divisions within mortar, or was he trying to get to mortar and brick word, a difference?
He was trying to show the distance between the mortar and the brick word.
And he got stuck in mortar in that process?
He never could explain it. He never could get out of it, so therefore it never applied. He never could get out of it, so he could never get a bias to gauge the rightness from.
And you will not get out of it if you're thinking it through with the goal of writing it down. That totally frustrates you.
Well, you can't write it down because it never communicates it. Because the time you actually write some wordy words, those words have changed. The landscape has shifted. You move center, and then you wonder why you're off or too clever by half.
You get that, Carol? That the word brick words are said with full cognition of their power. That's the only way they can be used. You have to know what you're doing to make the brick word work.
But to apply it.
Otherwise, the effects, because all words are brick words, but when you don't know what you're doing, they slip into mortar.
And then there is no cause without mortar.
There is no cause.
With mortar, there is no cause.
And so the ultimate expression of that dilemma is Finnegan's Wake. A guy gets totally involved, lost, accurately understanding, but trying to do, still defy fate and try to write it out and persist on it, and he ends up with garble to the extreme. But he knew what he was trying to do, correct? But he thought he had to write it.
And that's where he lost.
Yeah. He even included singing it, broadcasting it, televising it, filming it. He used all the media of mortar to get to this point that it was more than the book. But he made the mistake of doing it in a book. That's why James Joyce got confused, correct, Diane?
It's why video killed the radio star.
Yeah. Very good.
So, but that was only because he didn't have the computer.
At that stage.
And the cloud and all that.
At that stage, very good.
Okay, so then Watts says, likewise, McLuhan was arguing that all human artifacts follow the same laws of language, but that the actual prediction and control of the system is made difficult by context. So I would say that the laws of language, the laws of media they're coming up with, is falling into mortar, because brick words don't have laws. They just have their own expression.
Well, they may have laws, but they're not abided by.
Right.
You can have a law that they don't abide, like an unspoken law or an understanding that people engage, but doesn't have to be necessarily cause travail if it's not abided by.
Right. So the guy says, the prediction is made difficult by context. Their system is extremely adept for explanation, the laws of language are. But the other two goals of scientific research, that is prediction and control, are not as easily achieved. Now, science is misguided about trying to get prediction control, and James Joyce knew that. He knew that the laws wouldn't stay strong.
Good.
But
that's what we said.
He made a law out of it. He tried to make a law out of it.
Yeah.
Would you say that the quadrivium is more important than the trivium?
We would say not always, so no.
Well, the esoteric, shamanic, oral tradition of passing ionic breadcrumbs.
Well, there's your rug.
Right, that tradition.
Right.
That tradition, the breadcrumb tradition, is the attempt to remove the student from mortar. Let's say it that way. And that was easier when you had an oral one-on-one passing on of the effects of the wisdom. Once you started writing the alphabet in the printing press, this is what John the Revelator warned about. You are going to get in such a rabbit hole that you're going to have to blow yourself out of it. That's the basic message of the Book of Revelation as far as the unfolding of Mordor and the one-on-one shamanic passing on of the ionic crumbs was frustrated.
As now, Mordor applies to your knowing.
Is the shamanic tradition ever successful the way you're having the opportunity to express it today, Ion?
We'd say maybe.
Is there, more opportunity for you to be successful than any previous previous attempt to guide ascension? Is it easier for you to do it today because you're doing it?
It's smoother, yes.
It's smoother, and it involves the chemistry. Now, the shamans are known to be pretty good herbalists sometimes, maybe even a kind
sometimes.
Of alchemy.
Sometimes.
They're trying to do what you're doing. They didn't get there because you're able to impart verbal brick word wisdom in the world of Mordor and at the same time cook up some great products. That's
successful. The products are just the outflow. The products are just the outflow. That's your serendipity. That's your free part. You didn't pay nothing for that. It's your free part.
Evergreen said that Zoroaster was the first human being to wake up. You say no waking is required. So you would disagree with the Evergreens singling or as the first to wake up.
Yes.
But from the view of the entities known as the Evergreens, why did Zoroaster stand out? What did he know, Ion, that you would give him credit for?
Well, you'll have to ask it a different way because you can't get there from here.
Did Zoroaster ascend himself?
Yes.
Is he still alive?
Okay, in the physical, no.
Yes, he transcended. I mean, he...
Right.
What's the word?
Well, he actually went to another
transitioned.
World.
He transitioned. But he ascended in another world.
Yes.
He did pretty good. But like the third Jesus, he entered into social mortar. And words and documents were written.
And he didn't even do a very good job at it.
And maybe because he was half-hearted because he knew it was misguided.
Maybe like a fool's errand, I guess you could say.
Did he know that more than the third Jesus?
More than the second Jesus, for sure.
Oh, no, the second Jesus is alive and never had any problems. Oh, so the second Jesus got it by the Bob method of not knowing, unknowing knowing.
Right, not caring knowing, yeah.
Right, whereas Zoroaster cared a little bit, therefore he had to know something.
There's the trouble.
Any questions that I'm evoking in you, Carolyn? Lazy. You're being lazy? Oh, okay. You can't do one thing at one thing at the same time as one.
So says the blind man. Says the blind man. That's right.
That was a free part for you, a little free joke for you.
Oh, no, is that a free part? I like a free part. The free part's good.